We begin in the name of the transcendent Father, the omnipresent Son, and the immanent indwelling Spirit. Amen. Rooted in the work and listening with the ears of the heart, we take in today's Holy Gospel according to Luke, listening for a message just for us. As Jesus drew near Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If this day you only knew what makes for peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days are coming upon you when your enemies will raise a palisade against you. They will encircle you and hem you in on all sides. They will smash you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another within you, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." As Jesus drew near Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If this day you only knew what makes for peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days are coming upon you when your enemies will raise a palisade against you. They will encircle you and hem you in on all sides. They will smash you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another within you, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." As Jesus drew near Jerusalem, He saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If this day you only knew what makes for peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days are coming upon you when your enemies will raise a palisade against you. They will encircle you and hem you in on all sides. They will smash you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another within you, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." This is the Gospel of the Lord. O Lord, when I found your words, I devoured them. I took them in and combined with them, and they became the happiness and the joy of my life. Amen. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share? Frank, thank you.
Well, the last lines of the reading were just complete dynamite, made it all through the work, because you did not see the hour of your visitation. How often does this one not see the visitation by the higher circle of humanity that's right there and available all the time? And when that happens, all that other shit does happen too.
Thank you. Jackie.
I saw the aim for this week in this, and what I heard was the blinding power of buffers, that we don't recognize them. They're so close to us and they blind us from the reality of how close Christ is. He was drawing upon Jerusalem. And my wish is for all the stones that are built up in me to come down, the dismantling of this false self. From the experience this week, there is no other. That when you have compassion, passion with, you are one thing, there is nobody hemming me in, but those false pieces of me. And by the time you recognize that, and you know that you are always in the process of being visited, there is nobody that could hem you in or do you in or destroy you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. Thank you. Beautiful. Right behind you, Pam.
I heard your house was on fire. Valuation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Judith.
Like Jackie, I thought of the eyes that were encamped around me. Eyes that have not heard of the work, don't care about the work, don't value the work. I wish for those stones to come down as well. I downloaded last week's class that I missed, but not until Wednesday, and I didn't hear it completely. I read the commentary for today, but not with complete direct attention. So these eyes that are not I really want to undermine the singular purpose I have in mind for the work. And that's what I heard in the gospel.
Thank you. I heard that state is place. State is place. And without self-remembering, without being rooted in my source, things go to hell pretty quickly. Sue.
I heard that level 96 and probably also at, 24, that it's the tragedy of the situation. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stones there, and also that's just the way it is at 96 and 24. And there's, you know, like you said, state is place, and if that's where I am, then that's where I am. And it's a tragedy. And, you know, my house is on fire. And
yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah. Right, so from there we can say, I can work here. Shelley, all the way back.
We had the experience this morning of our fire alarm going off. I think it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And we've been in the process of remodeling this house for 2 years, and there have been a lot of stones there. Everything has to be perfect. This has to happen, that has to happen, blah, 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 blah. And when this fire alarm was going off, I didn't give a damn about anything in that house. Not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. The terror of the situation is a great wake-up call, and we get really clear on what's essential. Mm-hmm. Francis.
The first part about not being visible to your eyes, I mean, I just immediately translated that to eyes of the false personality. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I was looking at a group of students, some of whom had probably just minutes prior to that done something that was destructive. And I realized as I was looking at them that I wondered which eyes were looking at them. Mm-hmm. And I could see it was the eyes that were kind of holding them as they're just these little destructive beings. And I had a choice. It was a very easy choice. In that moment, remembering or being held by the class exploration, and mm-hmm. I could choose to know that those are not I, and that I could see them through the eyes of kindness and love and compassion, no exceptions. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I kept thinking about with the reading was the image of the retort. I had an experience a few years back with a parent who they said something to me, and my inner eyes could see like inside, like I saw a stone tumbling down.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I also remembered that I didn't remember the word for the retort, but I remembered the image of what it represents and wishing for something permanent. Mm. And so that's kind of how I ended when I heard with the reading tonight is a wish for that permanent aspect of Holy Spirit of the work.
Mm-hmm. And that's certainly what Jesus was doing as he wept. That's wish. Wish expressed. The grief and the wish together. Mm-hmm. The other thing we might hear in this gospel, which just occurred to me, is second force. So remember, second force is where all the transforming energy is. That's where wish can be renewed, it can be refound, it can be strengthened. We might also hear jumping for the rope. It's amazing, when I sit at home and read this gospel, I never get anything. And then I come to this class, and it's just so amazing how the combined intention is so inspiring to hear. Really. I wish that we would take all the recordings of everything that we've ever said about the Gospels and write new Gospels for modern times. It's just extraordinary. Because with everything that gets shared, you can really feel a path in what is heard in this room about these Gospels through the ears of the work. I mean, in a sense, a Gospel like this becomes incredibly hopeful and positive, full of possibility rather than dark and gloomy and destructive. Anything else? Great. Good. Last week we were introduced or renewed in the idea of the work octave, which is essentially just one way among many of describing the transformative process, especially the beginning of it. I had an email today from a woman, I don't know where she's from, and her question was, how do I begin? How do I begin? Four words, but what a huge question. How do you answer a question like that? I mean, the work octave gives us some idea. But what I see in her question is she was beginning. Something woke up enough in her to ask the question. And I'm sure many of us can remember when we didn't even have that question. We had many other questions about life and concerns, but we didn't have that question. Somehow it found us. How do I begin? So the work octave, again, it's just one suggestion of many, says do is valuation of the work. Or in Beryl Poxon's term, hearing. Hearing. Re is application of the work to oneself. I think Beryl Poxon calls that acknowledging. Let me look to be sure. Knowing, excuse me. And then me, realization of personal difficulties. And we can see that in time, there can be big gaps between these three notes. A lot can happen before these three notes play out. So me is realization of personal difficulties in Nichols' terms, and in Poxon's term, it's acknowledging. So we're starting to get real about things. We're starting to get real about our inner state. So the exploration was to explore this. Be kind to everything and everyone all the time with no exception, no matter what. Now, what Hawkins included, which I think I failed to include, be kind to everything and everyone, including oneself, all the time, no matter what. So, what was your experience with that exercise? Some of you have shared already. Tracy.
I experienced being the recipient of a kindness that's almost indescribable, but I'm going to do my best. And the octave actually began 7 years ago. My first work partner, I'd been coming here or coming in the work class for a year or two maybe, and finally took the plunge to a work partner, and the person I was assigned to was Sandra. And Sandra was brand new too. And we just had no idea what we were supposed to do. And she, her children were a lot younger. She had 10 minutes from 6:20 to 6:30. And we just made the best of it for those 6 months or a year. I can't remember. It was so innocent and so willing. So anyway, fast forward to this week, Tuesday afternoon, she sends me a text and says, "Have you gotten my email from last night or today?" And my newsletter article was due. And I hadn't gotten her email, and we managed to visit on the phone. This was like 2:30, and there was an attempt to like get it handled, but at 3 o'clock she needed to go get kids, and I needed to go do a client, and it didn't happen. And then that evening we connected about 7:40 in the evening, and I'm trying to describe the... there was so much around this relationship because when you write an article for the newsletter and you know you're sort of putting yourself out there, mm-hmm. Sandra's the first recipient of, you know, how does it sound? What's it like? You know, she's the first person to sort of be there for you in this process, and she's just been a big person in this. And then you've got to, you know, I'm trying not to be identified, but, you know, it's my story, and she's trying not to be identified. You know, you can just tell we're both working really hard here to get through this little editing thing that's due in 4 hours. And she was almost beyond anybody's my imagination of somebody who was so loving. I mean, she was just like, oh, yes, oh, of course, oh, yes, definitely. I mean, everything I said was just like getting this huge hug. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The really amazing thing is that her father died 6 days earlier, and she had the wherewithal to be so present and accepting and loving and trusting and non-identified. And I was in a weeping mode for the next 24 hours, just blown away. And what I guess the big picture of it is just the sophistication that's occurred for both of us from our humble beginnings of having cluelessness for 10 minutes every morning for 6 or 8 months to the exchange we had now was so much more sophisticated. And just loving almost beyond description. Yeah.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Jackie.
The way I interpreted this was compassion, be compassionate to everyone and everything. Mm-hmm. And of course, Friday was this unbelievable thing happening in the world. Mm-hmm. And what I found was that I was uncharacteristically kind to myself, mm-hmm. almost immediately. When I would observe something, and the catch was just using the word compassion was how I remembered it. Very simple, mm-hmm. immediately present aim. And as the week progressed, it got easier. It was like creating a new habit because there's no judgment and there's no internal considering in compassion. So whatever was in front of me was so quickly neutralized that there wasn't any other. And what I found was that I saw myself and the other person, whoever it was, and under any circumstance, as children together. And I could see when I caught it, say a moment of reactiveness, I could immediately see what age I was, and I could see the other person at the same age, and it was very sweet. It required that I physically get closer to others, and this personality does not like that. So I had found about a week ago, I'm in this new job, and I would get these emails from a particular person I didn't even know who she was in this organization, but they were edgy. So I was hearing judgment in me about her. And as soon as I got the same and I got an email from her, I decided I'm going to her office. I'm not going to shoot back an email. I need to be physically in her presence. And it was amazing. Immediately I walked in, I saw her, she smiled at me. She was a human being. She was me. And by today, we were emailing smiley faces back and forth. I don't even know this person. Mm-hmm. So it caused all of those artificial barriers we put up between us to completely disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Jill.
It just struck me that a way of being kind is playing our part fully. Mm-hmm. And I just finished listening to the end of the last week's class, and Laurie said something about how we free those that are in front of us when we let go of our stories and stuff. And there were several instances this week where I think I have this picture of kind as, you know, just hovering and sweet and doing for others, and it wasn't like that at all. And it was stating the facts, being firm in a loving manner, doing things that were kind of hard for me in a way. Mm-hmm. But looking back on it, it was kind, and in that it was what needed to be done, and so it allowed movement. And it had to be done. And I was thinking about that space that you've spoken of, that I just love that. And I was thinking kindness is really the fruit of being in that space. Mm-hmm. And in that space, it's pretty neutral. And so it's not a lot of sappy feeling or anything. It's mm-hmm. just being in that space. Mm-hmm. And that's what it flows from.
Yes. Well said. Thank you. Anna.
You mentioned being kind and compassionate, and that includes oneself. I struggled in the beginning to think about how can I be kind and compassionate to everyone, and as in number two, a helper on the Enneagram, that's all I know how to do. My wish is to do all that. Then I ask myself, what is the one person or one group of people or anybody that I have not been kind to? And that would be me. Mm-hmm. You know, working long hours, sometimes forgetting to eat and rest. I even thought it's little things like I don't have time to pee. Mm-hmm. You know, and when I get thirsty, I tell myself, "Oh no, don't drink," because then you have to pee. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to go to another person yet to see one more person before you can rest. Who would do that? You know, and who would? I would not tell another person to go have a glass of water, go to the bathroom, don't hold it, it's not good for you. And here I am doing the exact thing that I would not tell another soul. Mm-hmm. And then going to the next person, try to serve them, and standing there and not being in the present moment because I kept thinking, I gotta go pee. Mm-hmm. But that translates into a whole, just that simple thought about having to go to the restroom, don't have time. But what it made me realize that if I don't take care of me and I don't feel rested and I don't feel loved, how can I give love? Mm-hmm. If I'm not kind and compassionate to this one, how would I know how to be kind and compassionate to someone else? You know, so it's a very, very good exploration this week.
Yeah.
To be able to say, okay, I'm going to listen to my body. Where I feel discomfort, it's time to rest. It's time to take a break. It's time to go out and sit in the sun for a little bit, even if it's just 5 minutes, and come back and give that beautiful rested state to someone else. Mm-hmm. And it has served me. The other thing I've learned is that the word no doesn't have to be negative.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And no can be very loving to oneself and even to the other person. And that can be the word no, I find extremely liberating this week. It's kindness and it's just compassion for oneself. Mm-hmm. And there was one moment this morning, and in another instance when I thought about kind and compassion, was I was in a hurry, I was late for the hospital, and right when I was about ready to turn onto this highway, there was a car parked in front of me. And a little man and a little lady was in it, and the door was open. I rolled out my window and said, "Is your car broken?" And I thought to myself, "Please don't say yes. Please don't say yes. I gotta go." And he said, "No, we're just lost." And I thought, "It's the neighborhood. How could you be lost? You're in the neighborhood." And they said, "Well, we're looking for this doctor's office. It's on Mopac, and that's north." And I'm thinking, "Oh my God, I gotta go south." And all the limitations to kind and compassion start to appear. And as I see them, I said, "Okay, here, I'll draw you a map." And as they look, they go, "Oh, well, do we turn left or do we turn right?" And I thought, "Oh my God, they're gonna get lost," you know. And so I thought, you know, no limitations. Mm-hmm. You said no matter what.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, I'll play out the kind and compassion. And so I said, "Just follow me. I'll drive you to the building." So I drove north. And as I'm driving on the highway, I realized they don't drive as fast as I do. And I kept trying to slow down. I would pull over and I get honked. And then I pull back on the road again, and they're driving 45 miles per hour on Mopac, and I just thought, the time, and I thought, wait, no limitation, okay, I'm getting there, okay, feel that you're, you know, doing a wonderful kind deed, feel the higher hydrogen, and somebody's honking at me and flipping me off. I'm like, "Hey, don't you know I'm doing a kind act right now?" And I thought, oh, failed again, you know, so got kind and compassion to the honkers wave. And I realize we have limitations. We have limitation in our kind and compassion. And not just for oneself, there's the limitation. But the time limit, you know, I'll help you. I'll be kind and compassionate as long as it's convenient for me.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Realization of personal difficulty. Yes, Peter.
This concept is kind of grown this week on me. Early, I guess over the weekend, I went out in the backyard. And, you know, I usually try not to step on little bugs and whatnot and this and that. But all of a sudden, there was a swarm of mosquitoes. And I was there pounding on them. And I wanted nothing more than to kill all those little buggers. So, compassion for anytime, anywhere, you know, just went out the window on that. But then this week, we have an acquaintance in town, an older woman who's new to town and anxious about getting around and needed her car to get her car serviced. And so offered, well, I'll show you how to get out there. You know, and you can follow me and I'll tell you. And I figured, well, you know, that's maybe an hour. Well, she had other plans. 4.5 hours later. But I was able to pretty much keep calm and present. Mm-hmm. So that was a whole lot different than the mosquitoes.
Yeah.
But then this afternoon, on the way to class, I wanted to get a DQ milkshake. So I pulled up to the DQ place, you know, and there was a guy obviously down and out, leaning up against the wall. I got out of my car and I was going to go there, and I don't know what happened. I turned around and says, "Can I get you something?" Mm-hmm. And he says, "Would you?" And he really couldn't hardly believe it.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it was there. I was just there. So I bought him a hamburger, you know. But I don't know. But it sure has kind of progressed.
That's right.
Over this week.
Yeah. It's the power of AIM working in you and the power of the group intention coming to meet you. Thank you.
Been neat.
Yes, David.
I just had a second thought when Anna and Peter shared about when we were studying the real Christ with Tim, this concept of human nature. Mm-hmm. And what is our human nature? And in every instance, it was always that we kind of started talking, going down that rabbit hole of human nature is love and compassion. But it almost seems like in a lot of the instances, the decision, or maybe it's not even the decision to be kind and compassionate, it happens in the instant, in the moment. It's almost like if I have time to think about it, that's where doubt comes in. Just an observation.
Well, and so it goes both ways. There is the spontaneity of kindness coming through, which I think is what you're referring to. And then there's that fork in the road where will can arise, where you can see the multiplicity and its choices or its preferences, its aversions, and make a conscious choice. And that's the development of will in the work, which you might say is on the other side of the mi-fa interval in the work octave, where we really begin to see what the cost is and we're willing for it. You know, we're willing to be inconvenienced. We're willing to go out of our way. We're willing to deny it its preferences or to go against the aversions. We're willing to just experiment with it to see what are the other possibilities. I know what it always does. Are there maybe one or two other things it could do?
And what else I wanted to share was the main reason that I raised my hand was we just finished a class on Monday night with Rusty diving into that Richard Rohr book, Hope Against Darkness, St. Francis, Virtues in an Age of Anxiety. And we've really leaned into some heavy topics there. And you know, I had brought up in the class, for those that weren't attending the work, what the work assignment was about being kind and compassionate. And we were talking about this, just this vow of poverty and compassion that St. Francis took, and the man still blows me away.
Yeah.
The level, right? And But we talked about the events in Paris, and it was really heavy in that room, Pamela, because it was, and I said, no matter what, kind and compassion, no matter what, you know, to the folks in ISIS. Mm-hmm. And it really presses you up against some pretty hard, hard feelings. Mm-hmm. But you could see some, you can see some guys in the room just starting to give way and beginning to externally consider about even the shooters. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're so down and out and you're so full of hopeless despair, mm-hmm. and somebody gives you this idea that you can be infamous.
Yeah.
I mean, just to lean into that, and it felt real uncomfortable to go there, but we went there, and it really was it was something. It was, there was some vibratory energy in that. There were only seven of us.
Yeah, good for you. That's wonderful.
So we finished with the reading the prayer of St. Francis to close out our class, and that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can practice half that prayer, you're in a good spot.
Yeah. Jackie.
Tacking on to what David just said, it occurred to me that thinking about ISIS or any of the violence in this world right now, the work idea, if you really understood, you wouldn't disagree. So when I would hear something, rather than judge it, how dare they, or some other typical association response, to ponder, I wonder what their childhood was like. I wonder what the associations were that they had. And I have no idea. I mean, it's so alien to me. But I have to assume they're human beings and they function as we do. And they've had associations that lead exactly to that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just grateful that I have different ones, mm-hmm. and that we're sitting in this room. I mean, I read Uspensky on knowledge and the amazing thing about how we got into this room in a time when the world is in mass madness. I'm just grateful, mm-hmm. and in awe.
Mm-hmm. And the work would also ask us to acknowledge that with the same impressions, that's us, that's me. Mm-hmm. With the same influences in a different circumstance, that's me. Mm-hmm. That capacity is absolutely resides in me. As you said before, there's no other, and that is true at all levels.
So what I got to see is how violence makes me violent. Mm-hmm. When I heard that, the first thing I thought was, well, we need to go over there and just bomb the shit out of them. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh my gosh, it's me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How could I really turn the other cheek? Mm-hmm. And what would that look like?
Frank.
Probably because I'm not very compassionate normally, or for some reason like that, I felt so empowering. I felt just incredibly empowered all week. I have much more energy. My container, like all its leaks, major leaks, got sealed up. You know, and it manifested everywhere, whether it was in driving a car or doing little W or in personal relationships. Everyone seemed to be nicer to me for some strange reason. It might promulgate that sort of thing if we're not careful. Lovely, lovely homework.
So it created a real attractor field for you. Mm-hmm. Different vibration. Marilea, in the back.
I had a couple of wonderful observations during the week, lots of opportunity to learn some good lessons. One of the ones that I've been given is that it's easier for this one to be kind and compassionate to strangers than to those that are closer to me. Mm-hmm. That externally considering others when they're at a distance seems to be easier. Mm-hmm. And that one of the things that happens with the people who are closer to me, that one of the dynamics that this personality has is that there's this judgment going on. Mm-hmm. And so I've got this eye that knows best, and she knows how things should go, and she knows how certain people should, you know, load the dishwasher and dress and whatever else that they want to do their own way. And that is such a huge inhibitor to me seeing the need for compassion. Yeah. And it was also given to me that I really do have compassion for my beloved because he has to live with this one.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
And that was very humiliating, that that poor guy. I don't know how he does it. I really don't.
Yeah.
But with the events on Friday, I had the same reaction as Jackie just shared, that, wow, but for the grace of God, there mm-hmm. go I. Mm-hmm. And a large, overwhelming compassion for the mothers of the perpetrators. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a woman there who's lost two of her beloved sons. Mm-hmm. And we don't know, you know, all of the impressions that they had. But we probably can be assured that she's in great grief, mm-hmm. and that my heart just went out to her. Mm-hmm. And one last thing I wanted to share is when I thought about kindness this week, it triggered this really old little verse that we used to use with our kids, and I'd like to share it because it really is lovely. It's, kind hearts are the gardens. Kind thoughts are the roots. Kind words are the blossoms, and kind deeds are the fruits. But it really starts with those kind hearts. Yeah. And if I can clean my heart and make it clean and kind, then the actions and the thoughts and the deeds will follow. But it really is about the heart.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly, these aims aren't about success or failure. They're showing us our hearts. So like you, what I was shown that's in the way of kindness and compassion is judgment. I know how people should load their garbage and recycling and put it on the curb. And apparently I'll lose my center. I'm willing to lose my center in that righteousness. Now that doesn't mean that anything gets said or done, but the energetic disposition is still there, or impatience. Have I ever had it not together and someone's had to wait for me? Yeah. So the work gives us a lot of additional help. It tells us that man is asleep. This is what it looks like when man is asleep. This is what I look like when I'm asleep. It doesn't accuse us of anything. Dan. Tracy. Pause.
Let me collect my thoughts again.
Mm-hmm.
I had this realization, kind of a buffer falling down about myself, at least in one aspect, about being kind and compassionate. It kind of goes with the same thing about judgments about others.
Yeah.
And what I realized in many ways, I hold others, I'm almost expecting them or wanting them to fail in some way to build up my own self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And where I can come in and seem kind and compassionate when things don't go some way. I don't know what that is. But yeah. And it occurred to me that expectations or the way that we expect things to go isn't very kind and compassionate. And that's an example of realization of one's difficulties.
Yes.
So whether it's someone, and I think someone made the comment that it's much easier with those that are not close to us.
Yeah.
And that I found to be that those that I have a lot of those judgments about are those that are closer to me than others.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
An opportunity to remember and to wish to see things in a different way.
That's right. Amen. So you speak eyes that are in all of us. Anyone else? Sue. Hold on.
What I've realized is that the movement, even at a personality level, toward kindness and compassion can occur with work and effort. But there's also a place where, by the grace of God, where if I'm in a stop or an inner stop or a self-remembering, that actually just comes through me. And
yes.
It's a little different taste. Like that kind of compassion and kindness is very quick, and I'm like, wow, how, you know, did I just say that? That
yes.
was really nice.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a different flavor
mm-hmm.
to it. So I've been trying to pay attention to that, but also on the equally potentially payment side of that is the payment when I'm not open to that. And when I can feel like, well, that's really coming through me, but I'll jump in there and stop it and make a different choice and
mm-hmm.
hold out, mainly. It doesn't necessarily have to be mean, but it just like, no, I'm not going to be kind and compassionate.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to pout or whatever. And the payment that comes after that is pretty strong.
Yes.
And I equate that with that biblical feeling of the fear of God,
mm-hmm.
that fear of God has a different tone
mm-hmm.
if I'm moving in those kind of energy flows as opposed to trying to be kind and compassionate, which there's nothing wrong with that either, but it's interesting.
Difference.
Right.
And I think that's what Peter and David were both saying, is that there is the spontaneous movement of grace which can surprise us. And which has its own natural flow. And how wonderful to feel into the inner taste of that versus when we really are making efforts or work efforts, as you said. And it's good to feel both. It's good to feel the possibility of both. When we have to work against self-love, self-containment, self-attention, in order to be kind and compassionate, and when it just happens. The goodness within flowing out to the goodness in others, and the magnification of that. Shelley.
Chatty Cathy tonight. This is not usual for me.
I wanted to say that I appreciated so much the workshop on the welcoming prayer. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that came out for me this week was when you said, well, start with small things. You know, and so I have a cranky neighbor, and he comes over about once a month and says something, and I get all, you know, riled up about it or something.
And then you're the cranky neighbor.
Then I'm the cranky neighbor, right. But that was part of my story. Anyway, so I was describing this, and I was thinking, oh, aren't you something? You didn't get upset this time. You were kind. You were compassionate. And then I was talking to someone that I respect, and they said to me, well, I'm curious if you thought that you might have a little cranky neighbor. So I had to be kind and compassionate about that. Then when I was looking at the events in France, I said, well, I'm going to say the Onopono prayer. And then I realized in that moment that there was a lack of humility in that, because I've been very upset with a defect that I'm over-identifying with. And I said, Shelley, start that prayer with yourself. Mm-hmm. So,
thank you. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to, so the exercise that we worked with was number one out of a list of 10. Which Hawkins says, simple tools consistently applied will result in the revelation of spiritual truths that do not have to be acquired intellectually, because they present themselves with great clarity. In addition, they only present themselves when suitable and serviceable. And because they are not an acquisition of the mind, they do not end up as spiritual vanity. Some tried and true basic tools that have brought about tremendous results over the centuries, I love that sense of scale, are as follows. Number one, be kind to everything and everyone, including oneself, all the time, with no exception. Revere all of life in all its expressions, no matter what, even if one does not understand it. So that's another very powerful relating force. It shocks us into realizing we don't see everything, we can't possibly know everything. Our scale of perception and understanding is so small. Number three, presume no actual reliable knowledge of anything at all. Humility. Ask God to reveal its meaning. Number four, intend to see the hidden beauty of all that exists. It then reveals itself. So if you're open and willing to see the hidden beauty, it's there. It's waiting to be seen. Number five, forgive everything that is witnessed and experienced, no matter what. Number six, approach all of life with humility and be willing to surrender all positionalities and mental, emotional arguments or gain. Number 7, be willing to forego all perceptions of gain, desire, or profit, and thereby be willing to be of selfless service to life in all its expressions. Number 8, make one's life a living prayer by intention, alignment, humility, and surrender. True spiritual reality is actually a way of being in the world. Number 9, by verification, confirm the levels of consciousness and spiritual truth of all teachers, teachings, spiritual groups and literature with which one intends to be aligned or a student. And number 10, accept that by spiritual declaration, commitment, and surrender, knowingness, capital K, arises that provides support, information, and all that is needed for the entire journey. So you can feel into the great truth of those things, the great power of them, the great payment of them, and the great gain from them. He goes on to say, the most powerful tool that is in the province of the will is devotion. Thus, it is not just spiritual truth, but the degree of one's devotion to it that empowers it to become transformative. A great classic that demonstrates the efficacy of simplicity and devotion is that of Brother Lawrence's The Practice of the Presence of God, which emphasizes the importance of constancy. So you can hear all kinds of aspects of the work in that list. But one of the questions I had for myself is, well, how does the work become devotion? How does the practice of the work, the application of the work to oneself, become a devotion and not just work or not just effort? Because now you can feel we're moving up the work octave to ask that question and feel into the transformation of the work in oneself so that it becomes devotion. In other words, that it's all self-remembering. It's all surrender to God. It's all realization of God. It's all a movement of the heart, radiating, connecting, willing. Does anyone have any reflections on that for themselves? Pam, and then Lori.
It feels like it has something. In my experience, it's beginning to be more about the associations that can become possible through the many different avenues that I've been experiencing things in here. That there's something that gets hooked up within me and takes it to a different level. Mm-hmm. And I don't have anything specific, but I can feel that happening, that deep longing, and the synthesis of things happening, it just feels different. I can't claim Alan's yoga practice, it's gone from like that I can see something specific, but I can definitely feel into the difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, the longing of the heart definitely has something to do with devotion. Thank you. Lori?
Well, my first answer to your question was, I don't know, but it does. But then, in pondering it more, I see that just showing up, mm-hmm. no matter what, you know, whether it feels like anything's happening, sort of like centering prayer, just showing up and sitting here, mm-hmm. listening to my brothers and sisters, what showed up for me this week that was an example of the fact that it does begin to transform and it does begin to live in you is I had the experience that a couple of people described of the events of Friday of a thought, and it came through my consciousness, and the thought was, how many bombs would it take to eliminate this? But there was no emotion. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was curious that there was no emotion there. It was just a thought. And normally in these types of situations, I find my conscious mind judging the reaction that seems to inevitably happen, like the rush to war or the rush to mm-hmm. demonize or... And there wasn't that either. It was very neutral. And I think that that was a fruit of the work. Yeah. I don't think that this was a case of, like, I was seeing something that had been covered up because there was no emotion behind it. I'm not saying that that's not in there, mm-hmm. but this particular thought was just floating through. And then I thought, how many people are thinking that thought?
Yeah.
And to me, that is to be able to see that shift in flavor is miraculous. Mm-hmm. And it is the fruit of, I think, of just the wish in being here, plopping down.
Yeah. Well, being devoted to something is devotion.
Yes.
So being committed. And that might start as an effort, and then over time with fidelity, it turns into something else, mm-hmm. where the heart is inflamed. That commitment inflames the heart. Jackie?
The word practice, our practice, is so... we have two separate legs here, but the reality is the practice over time is intertwined. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where one begins and the other begins. Mm-hmm. Because when I wake up at 4:44 in the morning, I know I'll be reading the Magnificat and I'll be reading the work. And it is the work of inner Christianity, whether, mm-hmm. even before it was named that mm-hmm. here. And it probably didn't start out that way because at the beginning it's a formatory and the brain is so identified with just getting the words in the right order. Mm-hmm. But at some point it became the same experience of having visits from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because we're not here for results, but there are results. Mm-hmm. And there are visitations. And the work does come up to meet you, mm-hmm. in fact. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's magic.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Sue.
It seems to me it's almost like all three centers have a heart.
Yes.
And as the, you know, we're all wired differently, so like for my personality, it's the moving center that's, you know, doing its thing all the time. And it, you know, as I've grown in the church and through my other practices and just through life, is that I've learned how to open the heart of my moving center. And I've learned how to actually feel my emotional center. Like, wow, there's stuff in there. You know, and then, so what it seems that happen as all these three hearts open up, we just become one huge heart. And
yes.
Alhamdulillah, you know?
Yeah. Let's switch gears slightly. Next week we won't be having class. It's Thanksgiving. And I wondered, the work doesn't speak directly of gratitude. And yet it's in there. So what comes to you? What work ideas or work practices speak to you of gratitude? Jill.
Well, you owe me nothing, I owe you everything was what came to mind immediately for me. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, I owe you everything, you owe me nothing. That's a huge one. Mary Leah.
The one that comes to me is, if you can't change it, will it? In other words, be grateful for what you have. Embrace what you have. Say yes to this. Mm-hmm. And really want this. And it's entwined with that welcoming prayer. Rush towards the things that you want to run from. Mm-hmm. Welcome them. Want them. Mm-hmm. And that, when that feeling of gratitude. When you want something, if you're full of that wanting, you can't help but be grateful for having it. Mm-hmm. So, and that one gets me through a lot of situations. If you can't change it, will it?
If you can't help it, will it? Francis.
Working on all three lines.
Mm-hmm.
For me especially, I feel like third line work really does come from gratitude.
That's excellent. Thank you. Third line work. Selfless service. Any others? Sandra, coming behind you.
The idea of working on ourselves so that we can affect the generations that have come before us and after us.
Mm-hmm. Which is also a form of third line work. So our work on ourselves affects the past and the future. Mm-hmm. Yes, and in that one, what's also tied into it is there's other people who have come before us who have done work, and we're standing on their shoulders. So we're reaping the benefit of people who have worked before us.
Right, in the conscious
circle
of humanity.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Oh, and I also remember reading a different book where Gurdjieff had told, I think it was Thomas DeHartman, remember yourself versus self-remembering. It was remember yourself.
Yes, and there's another aphorism, remember yourself always and everywhere. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Very subtle takes on gratitude. Highly developed takes on gratitude. Any others? Stephen.
The one that came to my mind was the first one that I really heard that I had an attraction to, was that the teaching, which I take as truth, that we are essence and we come from the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just such a beautiful thing to know.
Mm-hmm, it is.
I feel the gratitude in that.
Yes.
Thank you, Jackie.
And the entire cosmology.
And the entire cosmology.
Yeah.
Okay, send that one back that way.
Yeah.
Sue?
If I just remember that I can work, I feel that's gratitude toward myself and through my higher power,
mm-hmm.
just that I can work.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Jill.
I just thought of a really huge one. I have a right not to be negative, for God's sake. How grateful can we be for that?
Yeah. How about higher centers are always speaking to us. So in other words, God is always with us. Always. Spirit of God is always with us. No matter what, no exceptions. Yes, David.
I just thought of, if you really understood, you wouldn't disagree. I'm feeling grateful that I can be perfectly imperfect.
Right, which also ties into the work accuses us only of being asleep. Nothing more. Behind you, Jan.
I was thinking about the whole idea of metanoia, you know, that we have a choice to see things in a new way.
Mm, beautiful. Yeah. So, for Thanksgiving, practice one of these ways of being grateful through the work. And so just take a moment and feel into one of these ways of being grateful through the work. And send ahead a future memory. Of how this aim will come to meet you over the next week and during the holidays. And of gathering back together again 2 weeks from now, filled with gratitude for the graces of the work, the higher vibrations that were experienced, a sense of our common humanity, a sense of possibility and hope. Does anyone have any questions or it's not clear on an aim for themselves? You can pick more than one of those. I mean, we just sewed them all into our consciousness, so they're all there for us now. And I also love the way in which I felt from each one of you your valuation of these ideas as you shared them. It really came through, so that's there for us as well. In other words, we weren't sharing them intellectually. They were coming through from lived experience of being fed by these ideas. Thank you. Now let us drop deeply into this moment together, the eternity of this moment,
And let's know together God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Amen. Awake now to the overflowing presence and action of God in our lives. We bless these tithes and offerings with the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and across the planet. Over the lie that we are separate and are useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen. Protect us, Lord, as we stay awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in His peace. And may God grant us a quiet and restful night and a peaceful death. Amen.